maybe a few years ago, parents may have tried to simply just kind of hold off on giving their kids a phone or access to certain websites. But your piece indicates studies show parents are now kind of accepting it and actually more likely to engage with their kids about being online. What do we know about kind of where things stand now?
Well, kids are getting phones at a younger age, and part of it is because they are asking for it and truly want phones, and also because I think the parents actually appreciate this technology that is enabling them to stay closer in touch with their kids.
And I said there was a Pew study that showed that a lot of parents are actually talking about it, that they are, as I said, kind of engaging on this.
Yeah, 94% of parents, most parents who have teens or tweens, talk about what is acceptable and unacceptable to share online. And they have these conversations, and they talk about stranger danger and things like that. But not as many follow up on it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Digging deeper into that Pew study, there's indications that many don't kind of take that next step. They talk about it. They keep the lines of communication open, but they're not actually kind of monitoring things. What did the Pew study show about parents kind of really digging in and really keeping track?
Well, 61% of parents check their kids' browser history. They check out what websites their kids are visiting. So, and then about only 60% have even read their kids' profiles on their social media accounts.
Wow.
And a little bit more than half have friended their kids or followed them on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, other social media channels. And fewer than half have checked up on their teens' text messages or the logs on their phones.
And this kind of monitoring is important, according to experts, right, to be engaged at that level.
It is. I mean, they don't call it the World Wide Web for nothing. And parents should check in on what their kids are posting. The experts tell us.
And I guess the key there is the idea that if you're going to talk about it, you should know specifically what you're talking about. And you did find one family that kind of learned firsthand about the importance of monitoring their kids' activities. Can you tell us a little bit about their story?
Yeah, there's a family in Claymont, and I think they're a pretty typical family. And they have been very diligent about keeping tabs on their young daughter's cell phone use. One of their daughters is 14, and the other one is 12. And they have Instagram accounts. It's the only social media that they're permitted to post on. And once a day, their mom checks and sees what the girls are up to online. Well, the older daughter made a friend who said that she was 13 years old through Instagram, and they were texting back and forth. And the mom doesn't recognize this kid's phone number. She's like, who is this kid? And the daughter says, well, I've never spoken to her, but I met her through Instagram, so she must be okay. Well, she wasn't. The mom did some checking and was able to track the alleged 13-year-old girl to her Facebook page and discovered that it was a 35-year-old man.
Yeah, that is definitely a cautionary tale right there. But unfortunately, one that we hear far too often about. So there you see a family that's kind of engaged and kind of checking up and looking at the Instagram and also looking at the text and kind of keeping tabs on the whole picture. If parents really want to monitor closely, there's also apps, right, that can help them do that. You don't just have to do it the way that family did by persistently checking yourself. Can you tell us about some of these apps that help parents kind of keep tabs on what's going on with their kids and even where they are?
Yeah, tracking apps like Find a Friend and Glimpse allow the users to locate their connections. And it's a tough one because there are kids who don't want their parents to always know where they are. And then there are younger kids who the younger kids seem to be more okay with it. But in this particular family that we were talking about, it goes both ways. So the girls know where mom and dad are, and mom and dad know where they are. So it's there's some equity there. It isn't just Big Brother watching them. We also know, and we interviewed a psychologist from the Moors who talks about kids who have misbehaved and having these conversations that, you know, you've been in trouble and you've let us down, so we do need to keep an eye on you and make sure that you are where you say you are. And when, after you've demonstrated that we can trust you, we'll revisit this issue.
Yeah, I guess your story also kind of points out that these apps are also helpful. You know, maybe not just for, you know, parents' peace of mind, but if you have a child who has health issues or something like that, that having the ability to kind of have a better idea of where they are at any given time is also a pretty positive thing.
It is. It is. The psychologist has talked with us about kids who have type 1 diabetes or have other chronic conditions, and they feel that it's an extra layer of safety, both the kids and the parents.
But as you kind of alluded to, I mean, there is kind of a risk here, right, that parents can go a little too far in monitoring, and maybe their kids, you know, because of that, rebel, push back. You know, how big a risk is that, you know, according to the people you talk to, that kids, if they feel like they're being monitored too much, actually try to beat the system?
Yeah, they do, and kids are really good at this. I think as kids get older, that there's more pushback on this, and nobody likes to be spied on, so they don't think of it as being monitored, or they think of it as being spied on or snooping. So it's a very slippery slope, and that is one of the reasons why having conversations between parents and kids is so important, to say, you know, there are rules. We're just not going to give you a phone and let you do whatever you want with it. There need to be some guidelines, some boundaries, and we are your parents, and it's our job.
Yeah, it seems like it's not new, the idea of this kind of like striking a balance and like having clear rules. But what's different is that, you know, back when I was a kid, you know, you would be mad if your parent was like snooping in your room and going through your desk drawers, or if you kept a diary, trying to read your diary and find out what's going on. This is a little bit different because it's online and it's kind of reaching out into the world, which makes it, I guess, a little bit more complex than perhaps it was 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah. If a 35-year-old could not pretend to be a 13-year-old girl, the technology did not support that. Back when we were kids, so there, because it is so far flung, and because there is a good measure of anonymity through some of these sites and social media, that it's just more complicated.
Did the expert you talked to have any kind of specific suggestions for striking that right balance and kind of making it work where, you know, you can get your child's buy-in as much as possible with a teen or a tween?
Yes. That it's rewards and consequences, that having a phone is a privilege, and it is that there are a large number of parents use the phone as a carrot that says you have to keep this grade point average, or you're going to be digitally grounded, or if you behave badly, give me the phone, that kind of thing. And it's but I think my takeaway from talking with the psychologist is that it's conversation. It's not just saying this is the way it is, like it or lump it. It's talking about what benefit there are to kids and parents in being transparent in using social media.
And it can happen, as you alluded to earlier. The family you talked to seemed to have found that right balance, right?
Yeah, I mean the kids are with the program. And the parents are a united front, and it's worked out really well for them.
Well, Eileen Dalabria, we really appreciate this piece.
Thanks.